I'll do the antiphon and stanza one, and then we'll alternate. We begin with Psalm 51 inside your bulletin. Death, I will be your death. Hell, I will be your destruction. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. And in sin my mother conceived me.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you.
Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise.
Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem.
Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. O death, I will be your death.
Hell, I will be your destruction.
Psalm 92. shall mourn for him as for an only son. For the Lord who is innocent has been slain. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise to your name, O Most High.
To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night.
On an instrument of 10 strings on the lute, and on the harp with harmonious sound.
For you, Lord, have made me glad in your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands.
O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep.
A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this.
When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore.
For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be shattered.
But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil.
My eye also has seen my desires of my enemies. My ears hear my desire of the wicked who rise up against me.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall still be fresh and flourishing.
To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him.
They shall mourn for Him as for an only son, for the Lord who is innocent has been slain. Psalm 64. O God, in my meditation, preserve my life from fear of the enemy.
I leave from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity,
who sharpen their sword like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows bitter words.
That they may shoot in secret at the blameless, suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear.
They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them?
They demanded it was ease. We have perfected hush to the scheme, both the inward thought and the heart of men are deep.
But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded.
So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away.
All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider his doing.
The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory.
Look, all you nations, and see my suffering. The Canticle of Hezekiah from Isaiah 38. From the gates of hell, deliver my soul, O Lord. I said in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years.
I said, I shall not see you, the Lord of the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world.
My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent.
I have cut off my life like a river. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me.
I have considered until morning. Like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night you make an end of me.
Like a crane or a swallow, so I chatter. I mourn like a dove.
My eyes fail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me.
What shall I say? He has so spoken to me, and he himself has done it.
I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul.
O Lord, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live.
Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back.
For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot raise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth.
The living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children.
The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs with stringed instruments. All the days of our life in the house of the Lord.
From the gates of hell, deliver my soul. Psalm 150. And see whether there's any suffering like my suffering. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament.
Praise Him for His mighty hands. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp.
Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes.
Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Oh, all you who pass by the way, look and see whether there is any suffering like my suffering. The epistle is from the third chapter of 1 Peter. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered, once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is from St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard.
go your way, make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Here ends the reading. The responsory is on page 212. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Hymn 731 is in your bulletin. Our sermon text is from Matthew 27, verse 57. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is fairly well known that the Sanhedrin, and in the New King James it's called the Council, that they were not receptive to Jesus and his teaching. The chief priests and select Pharisees and Sadducees were members of the council, and well, they had run-ins with Jesus early on, and it only got worse. Now, they probably tried to ignore him for a while and hoped that he would go away. I'm reminded of what a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was a member of the council, said. You see, after the resurrection, when the council was trying to quiet the apostles who were preaching the resurrection of Jesus, Gamaliel said, "And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." Now I realize that these words were spoken after the resurrection, but they certainly can be applied to their persecution of Jesus even before his death. You see, these clashes between the council and Jesus grew more frequent. On Palm Sunday, they complained about the children singing hosannas to Jesus. Later on, Jesus calls them liars and murderers, and then they do just exactly what he said. They pick up stones to try to kill him. Finally, in Matthew 26:59, we hear, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death." On this Sabbath day, after his death, we can see just how their evil minds work. They're haunted by Jesus' words and they can't forget him, though he is lying stone cold dead in the tomb. They're still worrying. If they were Christ's disciples, yeah, they would steal his body and claim a resurrection. And so still concerned about the response of the people and losing their control over the people, oh, it's going to be worse if this happens, they go to Pilate and they ask for a guard. Though he refuses to send his own Roman soldiers, he does allow the temple guard to leave the temple grounds and go and be posted. The Sanhedrin seal the tomb and station their own guards. All right, so let's stop for just a minute and realize that despite their great efforts and success in having Jesus killed, they are actually fighting against God. And when you fight against God, you will not win. The wicked Gamaliel was right. If it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. So Psalm 2, it says this, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords from us." But then verse 4 replies and says, "He who sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in derision." I can only imagine the laughing at their futile attempts to try to contain Jesus, manage the story, and control the people. Not only did the council not ultimately succeed, but it is the actions of the council and even some of their members who secure the proof for Christ's resurrection. First of all, consider Joseph of Arimathea. Matthew tells us that he was wealthy and secretly a disciple of Jesus, but Luke tells us that he was actually a member of the council, a council member, and a good and just man. But more importantly, we find out that he had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. So this secret disciple comes into town, finds that Jesus is hanging on a cross, and he remains there and watches. After Jesus' death, Joseph goes to Pilate, gets permission to take the body. Now, it was not uncommon for a family member to get permission to take the relative's body and to bury it. Another member of the council, Nicodemus, who you might remember had come to Jesus to speak with him at night over a year ago or so earlier, he also gets involved. And so together they quickly provide a burial in a tomb. Nicodemus provides the spices while Joseph provides the linen, and he even offers up his own new tomb, which was close by. Now, this is important. If no one claimed the body, it would simply have been thrown into a pit with the others in a kind of mass grave that goes with the outcasts of society. The actions of two members, though, provide a solitary tomb, and we're going to find a posting of the guard with a seal to provide the proof that there is no body-snatching grave robbery. You see, without their work, like evidence that is not secure, anyone could have tampered with it. There would at least have been the charge of monkey business. What is even better is that you have this work being performed by members of the council, by his enemies. At least most of them were. It's considered better proof if it is your enemies are the ones that are securing and doing these things. You see, we ought to thank the council, the Sanhedrin, and some of their members for their excellent work. Furthermore, they fulfilled the scriptures, which said, "And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." So on this day, our Jesus rested in the grave with the rich. Now, Romans 6 makes the point that we were baptized into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And I think it would have been just fine. I mean, St. Paul could have just said death and resurrection, but he didn't. He included the burial. Verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death." You see, we need not fear death, and we need not fear burial. Our sins are forgiven, and we receive Christ's victory over sin, death, and burial. Just as the council could not defeat Jesus, so we who are united with Jesus in our baptism will not be defeated. The plan for our rest in the grave, the tomb, and then our resurrection from the dead, it is of God, and you cannot overthrow it, lest you be found to fight against God. You see, God's plan is to save us in Christ. And the body of our Lord Jesus Christ did not decay in the tomb. Because of that, we have been united with him. And that gives us hope. Psalm 16, 9 through 11. "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So unless our Lord returns first, we too will rest in the grave, but we will rest in hope, in the hope of the resurrection from the dead and the restoration of a resurrected body. So Psalm 2, verse 10, "Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be instructed, you judges of the earth, for you cannot fight against God." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.
Christ, for our sakes, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. The canticle is the Benedictus, page 217. We stand.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And your child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to them who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly implore you that as you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help, we may bring the same to good effect. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Shed your Holy Spirit upon your people, O Lord, and make ready our hearts this day to keep and hear your holy word, that in the communion of your congregation we may rightly sanctify your holy day, and through your word with all your saints come to eternal blessedness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.